Today, my message is winning the battle, winning the war against discouragement. God's going to help you win the internal battle so that your heart, your mind, is not at war with his heart and his mind, and that Satan is not plaguing you and controlling you through those thoughts of discouragement and hopelessness. You, are, my friend, are going to win the war against discouragement. There's a great story in the Bible about King David. And King David had survived so many years. He's 30 years old. He's 3 days away from the greatest victory, being crowned king of Judah. And so he's right there on the precipice. He's right there on the cliff. He's right there at the pinnacle. He's about to enter into his destiny. And yet he goes through the most heart-wrenching and discouraging season of his life when his family and finances were attacked. And often that's the way the enemy really unleashes discouragement, is by attacking people's finances and family. But here's what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. It happened one day that David and his men came home to Ziklag. Ziklag was their temporary home. On the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. They'd taken captive all the women and all the children and all those that were there, from the smallest to the greatest. They didn't kill anyone, but they carried them away, and then they went on their way. So when David and his men came home back to the city, there it was, their city had been burned down by fire. And all of their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. That when David and the men that were with him, they lifted up their voices to weep until they had no more power to weep, no more tears, no more energy. Now David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had also been taken captive. And David was greatly distressed, for his soldiers spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was so grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. But David, But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to the priest Abiathar, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here. That was an instrument in the priesthood that they would receive prophetic and guidance from God. It was a divine instrument of guidance. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered, pursue, and you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Without fail. Verse 18, just fast forward, and says this. David recovered all the Amalekites had carried away. He rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small nor great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that the Amalekites had taken. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and herds that had been driven before the Amalekites' wealth and those livestock, and said, this is David's spoil. Father, I pray that you anoint your word as we celebrate your promises, anoint your servant, anoint your beautiful people. Speak to us today. Show the devil who's boss. Let revelation pour into the hearts of your church. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this story. It's a great comeback story, and it's so insightful. And so David was in God's will. He wasn't doing anything wrong. In fact, he was 3 days away. He was right there. Often discouragement is the greatest when breakthrough is the closest. And he's right there about to enter into his destiny. And suddenly the Amalekites come and they took advantage of his absence. All the men are at war. They're out making a living. And they burn the town down. They take all the possessions and they kidnap all the families. So I want to talk a little bit about the Amalekites, because this is not the first time they're mentioned in Scripture. So going way back, the Bible talks about them in the book of Deuteronomy. Here's a brief history of the Amalekite nation. First point is this. They represent in the Bible the demonic strategy to attack God's people when they are the most weary and where they are the most vulnerable. It's the perfect moment to attack. The Amalekites didn't attack Ziklag when David was home. David was a great warrior. He had great warring men. They attacked when he was gone. And it's that spirit that studies us and finds the place we're the weakest and the moment where we are the weariest, and then attacks us with discouragement. Your whole lifetime, you will face no enemy more deadly, more dangerous, more difficult than discouragement. It is the greatest enemy, I believe, that Satan unleashes against people. More people have quit their destiny because of discouragement than because of demons or any other reason. Discouragement finally winning the day. But we have to win the battle for discouragement, conquering it in our hearts and our minds. So the Amalekites, the word Ziklag, the home where they lived, it was a desert dwelling, and it means a wilderness of ruin with no trees, lifeless, pastureless place. So it speaks of a wilderness season when life is kind of tough. Well, the whole world is experiencing a wilderness season now when life is rather tough. And the Amalekite, the name Amalekite comes from Amalek, and Amalek means this, warlike people that licks up. To exhaust, to worry, to be a valley dweller. Warlike people that licks up. And the idea in the Hebrew is they don't just conquer, they devastate whatever they conquer. So they lick up, all the crops are gone, all the houses burned, all the people dead or kidnapped, complete devastation. And so that's the spirit, the enemy studying this demonic strategy birthed out of hell to attack God's people when they are the most weary and where they are the most vulnerable. In Deuteronomy 25, God mentions them. Here's what he says. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you came out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at the rear. When you were tired and weary, he did not fear God. Therefore, it shall be when the Lord God has given you rest from your enemies all around, in the land which the Lord God's giving you to possess as your inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. You know, as Israel came out of Egypt, and there was up to 2 million people crossing the desert, just imagine this massive congregation. So, of course, the younger, stronger would be up front, leading the way, walking faster, more aggressive in posture and health and vitality. And at the end would be the smallest children and the older, the elders. And man, what a picture of what's happening now. This disease seems to be especially attacking the vulnerability of people that are elderly. But the elderly and the weak, and so the Amalekites were this mountainous tribe, this nomadic tribe. And they studied Israel, and they're peering down, and they said, let's not attack them where they're strong. Let's attack them where they're weak. Let's not attack them when they're strong. They've been walking now for a few days. They're tired. Let's attack them when they're weak. And so Israel had many enemies in those years as it walked through the wilderness and made its way to Canaan. But none of those enemies so offended God by their methodology, by their strategy, than the Amalekites. God was deeply angered and offended at the behavior of the Amalekites toward his people. And God hates that spirit, that demonic assassin that tries to take out God's people with discouragement. In Jesus' name, you're going to conquer that. You're going to come out of this season. You're going to conquer discouragement in the name of Jesus. God's going to help you. And so 1 Peter 5 says this, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist steadfast in the faith. So God says the enemy is always trying to devour people. How does he devour people? With thoughts. How do thoughts devour us? Thoughts that make you quit. Thoughts that make you hopeless or discouraged. The enemy tries to paralyze your faith and cripple your walk, steal your destiny by those discouraging thoughts. But you can and you will, in Jesus' name, overcome those things. Discouragement is the weapon of hell trying to assassinate your kingdom, identity, and destiny. That's what discouragement is. The longer you live in fearfulness, the greater control discouragement will have over your soul. The longer you live being fearful, the greater control discouragement. Man, you can't afford to be afraid for long periods of time. Why? It just builds an arsenal of discouragement in your heart. God's going to help you overcome. 1 Corinthians 10 says this about all of us. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to all men. But our loving God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with that temptation, he will make a way of escape that you can be able to bear it. I promise you, there's a way out. There's a way through. God's not abandoning you, saying, I hope you make it. God says, I'm going to help you make it. I'm going to strengthen you. There's a way out of this. There's a way out of the feeling of hope. God gave me a way out of depression, and God will give you a way out of discouragement, a way out of anxiety, a way out of fearfulness, a way out of discouragement. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I know you're going to help people that are watching in Christ's name. It's so true. The enemy's greatest assault to discourage you will often be by attacks on your family and finance. Discouraged people have a hard time hearing God's voice. Just a couple of simple points. Never make an important decision when you're feeling discouraged. Why? Every decision we make out of discouragement will be a bad one. Why? We've not calculated the promises of God, the presence of God, the hope of God. The Spirit of God has been absent from that counsel. And so we're going to make mistakes. Discouragement is one of the greatest enemies you'll ever face. Discouragement is the product of people feeling defeated. The devil's a liar. God's not given us a spirit of fear, of timidity, of defeat, of victimization. We're more than conquerors. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You are going to make it through this season in Christ's name. That's the first part. A second part of the brief history of the Amalekites is this. Often in life, this is a spiritual point and principle I want you to really grasp. It's not how heavy something is, but it's how long we have to carry it that is the most difficult and discouraging. Let me say that again. Often in life, it's not how heavy something is, but how long we have to carry it that is the most difficult and discouraging. So here, throw me a bottle of water. I'm going to demonstrate this. This bottle of water weighs probably a pound. Or less. It's very light. And it doesn't stress my arm out at all. Now, if I said to you at the beginning of this message a few moments ago, I'm going to hold out with my arm completely, I'm going to hold this bottle of water for the next 30 minutes while I preach. By the last 10 minutes, the water would be flying everywhere. Because it's not how heavy it is, it's how long you carry it. Often that's what discouragement does. It's not how heavy a battle is, a burden is, but how long we have to endure it. And I just want to tell you this. Never put a timeline on how much you can endure. When Mary and I started going through something 25 years ago, I said to the Lord, Lord, I can handle 6 weeks of this. When that storm finally ended 6 years later, I saw God's faithfulness. He carried us through it. God's going to carry you through however long it lasts. This comes from the idea of Exodus chapter 17. When Amalek again, here is the Amalekite spirit who represents the strategy of the enemy. Here's what the Bible says. The Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose out some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And then Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were held steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people by the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book of account, in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar to the Lord and called it by its name, the Lord is my banner of victory. Oh, what a great name, Yahweh Nisi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Every generation faces discouragement. We aren't the first generation to face a pandemic. We aren't the first generation to face discouraging, fearful moments. In every generation where people have called out to God, God has delivered them from this spirit. And God's going to help you overcome this Amalekite, this discouragement tactic, this assassin of your heart, this assassin of your destiny, this attempt of the enemy to take you out to discouragement. The devil's a liar. You're going to overcome. You're going to make it through this. God's going to help you see the promise of the other side of this battle. When we can win the battle in our minds, we can win the battle in the rest of our lives. Here's an important point. We either defeat discouragement, my third point today, or discouragement defeats us. We either defeat discouragement or discouragement defeats us. There are some things you simply cannot toy with. Some things you can't allow the presence to dwell in your house, your heart, your family, your mind, your thought process very long. Because the longer it's there, the more damage it does. The longer discouragement is controlling your mind, the more damage it does to your future. And God, by his Spirit, is going to help you drive out this lie. Moses, the mighty man of God, Moses, got tired. He had to sit down. He couldn't win that battle by himself. Aaron held up one hand, Hur the other hand. And God helped him win the battle. No matter how long the season you're in lasts, God's going to help you win the battle. Galatians 6:9 says this, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. I like to say this saying, God's never late. Of course, he's hardly ever early, but God's never late. He shows up when he said he would show up. And he's not going to fail you. And the due season, there's a date circled on this year's calendar when God's going to liberate this whole world from that pandemic. There's a date circled on God's calendar for victories for you and your family, for a financial breakthrough, for a family breakthrough, for the salvation and for the restoration of faith, for the healing of homes, for the healing of your health. There are dates, and God says, if you can just make it to that date, you're going to see my faithfulness. Don't quit now. Keep believing me because that day's coming. That due season of fulfilled promise and harvest is coming for you in Christ's name. And God's going to show himself strong in your story. We either defeat this spirit or it defeats us. And that comes back to the Amalekite spirit. So Israel asked for a king. God gave them a king named Saul. In fact, Israel chose Saul, but God anointed Saul to be first king of Israel. And the prophet walked in and said, here's your assignment. Go destroy the Amalekites. God couldn't wait to conquer the spirit that had so devastated his people for generations upon generations. And so when Saul went to battle against Amalek, he saw a bunch of good things there. So what he did was he destroyed the bad things, but kept the attractive young people, kept the wealth, kept the nice possessions of the Amalekites, and kept them for himself. So instead of doing what God said, he didn't destroy the Amalekite power, presence, people, nation, really the spirit. He was a compromised leader. So what happened throughout his life, compromise was the sin of Saul. But Saul actually, in 2 Samuel, David is anointed king, and a man comes into the room. And David says to him, who are you? And the man said, I am an Amalekite. And he said, Saul said to me, the Amalekite said, please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, but I'm still alive. So the Amalekite said, so I stood over King Saul and killed him because I was sure that he could not live after he had been wounded and was fallen. I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm. I brought them here for you, my Lord. Now here's the point. The thing that Saul didn't kill ended up killing him. He was called to destroy the Amalekites, and it was an Amalekite who was standing over his body after he had killed him and took off his crown, took off his bracelet. It's such a portrait of the damaging consequence of not conquering that spirit. Remember this about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare isn't what's happening to you, it's what's happening in you. It's not what's happening out there, it's what's happening in here. Self-pity, a couple of points. David lost everything. His men, his mighty men, he had made them mighty, or so disappointed, so discouraged, so disheartened, so broken, so devastated, so demoralized, they wanted to kill David. David felt both the discouragement of losing his own family, his own wealth, and then lost the loyalty of his men. So he has a double portion of discouragement. But instead of having a pity party, self-pity will get you attention, but it will never get you better. The Bible says this, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He prayed through. We used to call that growing up in Pentecost. Have you prayed through, brother? Prayed through till the note of victory comes. Have you pressed through? Have you preached to yourself? You've got to do whatever it takes to get past discouraging thoughts. If it's listening to worship music all day long, if it's spending hours in prayer, if it's listening to many faith-building sermons, you have to do whatever it takes. Open the Word of God and press in until you've conquered this beast, this monster called discouragement. Because that's real spiritual warfare. You alone, my dear friend, are responsible for your feelings, beliefs, and actions. As long as we're playing the victim game, well, this happened to me. Listen, I had a person steal $20 million from our church. We were victimized. Victimization was feeding my depression until one day I took accountability. God, here's how I'm feeling. Help me get better. Help me get better. And he did. He did help me get better. David said this in Psalm 42. He said, why? It's self-talk. Why are you cast down, O my soul? So he's talking to himself. And why are you disquieted in me? The word disquieted is worry. Why are you at war? And then he starts preaching to himself, hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, for he is the help of my countenance, and he is my God. Worship helps you break through. If the devil can't stop your worship, he can't steal your breakthrough. And David literally addressed his issue. He knew about self-care. He knew about emotional health. He knew about the Lord restores my soul. And he knew how to talk to himself. And he knew how to worship his way through. Some of the greatest victories we have begin when we start worshiping God, even while we're still hurting. Our hearts are still hurting. David worshiped his way through. If you want to, people often, the ministry is a, you know, very broad and very various. There's so many gifts and beautiful expressions of ministry. And people say, well, Pastor, I want to be in the ministry. Well, here's a ministry. If you want to have a ministry that never runs out of opportunities, have the ministry of being an encourager. Why? Everybody needs encouragement. Here's something that I live with. I assume, when I look at people, that every person I'm going to meet has a battle somewhere in their life that's discouraging them. And my time with them gives me a chance to encourage them and help them. Just know that whether they share it with you, whether it's obvious by their countenance, their expressions, or their emotions, or their attitude, everybody's got something going on. And everybody needs encouragement. Be an encourager and you'll never run out of opportunity. You know, I'm also prophetic, and I appreciate so much the prophetic grace God's given me. And I've learned, I've fought hard, that I would never use prophetic ministry to do anything but encourage people. There's something really important the Bible says is about prophecy. The prophecy should edify, encourage, and comfort. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Prophetic ministry that doesn't heal and encourage misrepresents God's heart. You can be accurate in a prophecy, but very inaccurate in its delivery by not sharing God's love, by not sharing a hopeful outcome. Often when I'm praying for someone, God shows me something wrong with them, I just don't automatically shout that out. I ask God, show me the solution. Show me the remedy. Show me your medicine to help them get better. And God will help us encourage and bless people. The Bible says this in Jude. I love this verse. It says this. But you, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. I appreciate the Holy Spirit. I couldn't do what I'm doing without Him. And I appreciate the language He's given me, besides English, my heavenly language. Because when I pray in my heavenly language, I'm literally building up my faith level. Another way we build up our faith level to conquer discouragement is through God's word. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word feeds your faith and builds it to be strong. Part of the way we conquer discouragement is by having the voice of God come into the conversation of our soul, the word of God coming in there, and dispossessing, repossessing, and conquering discouraging thoughts and words that are trying to abide. The Bible says that hope deferred makes your heart sick. When hope walks out, depression walks in. In the examination, the forensic examination of my depression, I found this out 25 years ago. When I stopped dreaming, I started living chronically depressed. Hope is oxygen. You're made to live in hope. Now abide faith, hope, and love. Hope, the God of all hope, Romans 15 says, will fill you with glorious hope. We're made to have the oxygen of hope. Hope is oxygen to your soul. And God's about to restore your oxygen level with hope. He's going to help you conquer discouragement. I don't have to have a natural reason to hope. When I have the promises of God, the presence of God, the kingdom of God, the love of God, the hope of God is stronger than the hope of men, which is based on circumstances. I have a hope that is more powerful than the circumstances in my life. I'm not hopeful because things look good. I'm hopeful because God is good. Whew. Write that down, sweetheart. I'm hopeful because God is good. I'm preaching to two people, but it's so fun. I'm actually talking to thousands. I'm so excited in this moment. God is reversing the grip. He's undoing the assault. He's giving you a conquering spirit that's rising up. The more encouraged your heart becomes, the more passionate you grow to believe for the complete restoration of everything the enemy has stolen. The kingdom of God gives us authority to take back anything the enemy has tried to take away. So David encourages himself. He gets so encouraged, he can hear from God. And he gets the ephod and he says, God, should I go after the Amalekites? And if I do, will you restore? Will I have authority to take back what they've taken? And God says, pursue them without fail. You will recover all. The healthier your heart becomes, the more hope becomes the dominating feature in your worldview. You know your heart is healthy when it dreams again. That's God's promise to you. Like David, David got his family back, his finances back. In fact, David in one day became the richest man in Israel as he took the wealth of the Amalekite nation and it lifted him up for the platform of his reign, which began very soon. His breakthrough happened, not when his circumstances changed, it's when his attitude changed. Encouragement lifts us up out of the pain of our past and propels us into the promise of our future. Like King David, I pray in Christ's name that you hear this. God says, okay, you're not only going to survive this, you're going to get your stuff back. You're going to get your life back. You're going to get your finance back, your home, your business, your ministry, your marriage. You're going to get it back. Whatever the enemy has kidnapped, stolen, or robbed, or destroyed, God's able to restore in Christ's name. And like David, I declare right now that God is encouraging your heart. Father, I thank you that right now, everyone that's listening or watching, you're with them. You know the details of their story. And you're helping them. You're strengthening them. You're pouring your grace. You're pouring your love. You're pouring your joy. You're pouring your peace. You're pouring your kingdom into their mind, their heart. You're strengthening their faith. And you're telling them, not only is everything going to be okay, but they're going to go get their stuff back. They're going to dream again. They're going to take back their future from the grip of discouragement. They're going to take back their family from the grip of deceptions and devastations. They're going to take back their business from whatever's tried to destroy it. Whatever the enemy has touched, God's going to help you restore. God gives you the authority to take back anything and everything the enemy has ever taken away. That's God's promise to you. Yeah, you're about to have your turnaround. Yes, the tide is turning. Yes, God is with you. Yes, the best is yet to come. Yes, God's going to give you double for all your trouble. Yes, the Lord is fighting for you, not against you. Yes, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. God is with you. He's delivering you. He's providing for you. He's fighting for you. And my friend, he's going to help your heart sing for joy again. Before anything changes, you're changing in here. You're changing it here, and you're conquering discouragement. You're anointed to, you're meant to, and God's going to help you. Thanks for listening today. I love you. I'm with you in the spirit. I'm praying for you, and I can't wait to hear the testimonies God's going to do in your story. God bless you.